And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Okay, so I'm looking at my notes, and I just gotta say is, holy naga, holy moly. This unit, I gotta admit, she pretty much is a dragon killer. Like, that blessing that Thirst gave her is like, yeah, make anybody an effective dragon slayer. Like, holy moly, naga, I love you.
I don't have her, but whatever. And Talia's Tyler.
Yeah, that, I don't know if you guys tried the, her legendary hero battle map. That thing took me a minute, and I was very frustrated trying to do the lunatic run. I finally pieced together a squad to do it. I just had to use two dancers, but...
I tried it on the lowest setting, and I couldn't even do it. And I had, like, one of my best teams, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out. I mean, it's only two warps, whatever. All right, well, we'll get to that, and a lot of news this week, and of course our continuing Road to E3 segment, but we're going to start it off with, what have you been playing? Tyler, how about you start us off?
Yes, I have been playing Team Sonic Racing still. I've cooled off on the game a little bit since last week. I had only, if you recall, my story of trying to buy it, and then getting it and then playing it for like an hour and a half before the show, and it taking me like 4 hours to actually be able to buy it. Now that I've played it a little bit more, I still like the overall feel of the game. I think it controls really, really well. But I definitely dislike the team element, which is so critical to the game, works well with friends and it's phenomenal. But the AI, I do not enjoy playing with. They are very annoying, and in the story campaign, when I don't have anybody else to race alongside me, I am forced to kind of use the computer partners. And in the game, there's all sorts of ways you can boost your team meter up to try to go, like, if you fill this meter up, you can use your team ultimate and basically just a superpower, like you'll fly real fast, and usually it'll sling you from last to first if you use it right, or if you're competitive. And you can build the meter up by passing items back and forth. You can build the meter up by boosting off of each other. If somebody spins out and the teammate flies by them, they'll give the other guy a boost and sling them back into the race, which is so cool. It's a lot of fun. And of course, the person who's winning leaves a trail behind their car, and the people behind can ride that trail, and they A, go a little bit faster, and B, after they are in the drift for like a second or two, can cut out and then get a big boost before going back into the drift or passing, and that also fills up your meter. So I am always the person who's ahead in this, like, on my team, and it's like a deliberate thing. That's not me saying, oh, I'm good. That's me saying the comms will slow down and come back for you if you get hit by an item, which is fine. I get that that's kind of part of the team mechanics. You can even like turn around deliberately. If you double tap the drift button, you'll just do a 180 and you can drive backwards to pick up the teammate behind you. And they always do that, and it slows you down so much, because my preferred way to play would be if I got hit by an item and I was in third already, that I would just try to ride the computer's drift to catch back up. But instead, they turn all the way around and come back to get you, and it just knocks your whole team way out of position. And even worse, when you're winning, which is the vast majority of the time, they never ride your drift. Like, they should always be going in and out of your drift at all times, and they will go laps without actually doing it. And it's so frustrating, because you'll see the enemy teams, the enemy AI squads are always, they're getting off two or three supers a race. And my team, if I can get two off, it's a miracle. And I'll barely fill up the meter for that second time. And those super boosts are such an important element of the game that I'm finding it really, really difficult on hard mode to achieve every single challenge. Like, so one of the things I'm trying to do is win a Grand Prix. Every race, somebody on your team has to win. And as I said, your computers will never win the race for you. They will always come back. If you're behind them, they'll slow down. So you have to win every single race. And I have found it to be borderline impossible to do. And like, there's an expert mode that's even that's harder than hard. And I can't imagine what that challenge is like, because I could run a perfectly clean race and still lose easily just based on my AI partners not doing what I want them to. And it's very annoying. That being said, when you're playing with friends, the team mechanic is fantastic, and it adds a new layer of gameplay into the mix that differentiates the game from everywhere else. So you take it for what it is. You know, I do prefer Transformed. I still think that's the best racing game I've ever played. But I mean, Team Sonic Racing is still fun. It's just I wish that the AI was a little smarter.
So what I'm hearing from this is you hate Sonic. So, and that's appropriate given the news story we have later, but I can't believe that what I'm hearing. It's shocking.
Yeah, a friend of mine just texted me about the Sonic movie right before the podcast, and that was just again opened up a fresh wound that I just didn't want to I wasn't ready to talk about, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's actually funny enough, because like during this entire time like at work, I was actually watching the Sonic X opening cartoon, and it's like, yeah, that's how you're supposed to do it, Paramount. Like, there's plenty of references, and you couldn't take those references to heart when making this movie. It's like, jeez.
I just want to note that the Sonic X theme song is great. I know not a lot of people like that show, but that theme song was great.
It was catchy. A banger.
Yeah. All right, for me, I have honestly been playing a lot of Fire Emblem Heroes, because I got back, much like Tyler, I got back interested because of recent banners. Today, I was at 300 orbs plus because of the voting gauntlet and all of the bonuses we've been getting recently, which I've been appreciating, of course. So I tried to get the Naga banner, or Naga via her new banner, and I was trying to see who else I could get. And so I use my free summon, and I'm only going for blues. So I use my free summon, and there's no blues on the board.
Oof.
So I'm like, of course. So I do a free one, and I didn't get anybody, and that was fine. I was expecting that. So then, I take that back. I did get someone. I got New Year's Gunthra.
Right.
Free summon, 5-star New Year's Gunthra. And I'm like, okay. That's fine. So it's like, I've already got a 5-star, which means my dial is reset. And I'm like, okay, I need to at least try to get Naga. So I go back and I do another one. I get 4 blues. And I'm like, score! So I do the first blue, nothing. Do the second blue, nothing. Do the third blue, nothing. And do the fourth blue, nothing. So I'm like, oh. Suck. So, of course, I'm already ticked at this point, but I'm like, gotta try again. So I back out, go back in, and I'm like, there was no blues again.
Oof.
And I'm like, you mother forker. So I'm like, I gotta try. Well, obviously, I'm already in, so I gotta pick. So I picked a green. I'll go watch as I get a 5-star. And I got a 5-star. 5-star Lug. Or whatever the heck his name is.
Right, Luke, yeah.
Yeah, Luke, whatever. And so, again, I'm ticked. But I'm like, I still got like 290-some-odd orbs or something like that. So I'm like, I might as well try again. So I back out, go back in, and I got 2 blues. I'm like, score! First blue, nothing. Second blue, nothing. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm out. I got 2 5-stars. I can at least be content with that. And then, randomly, during one of the banners we've gotten last week, like the reprisal marriage banners or whatever. Finally got Brave Lucina.
Really?
Oh,
2 years later, and she just randomly appears, and
that's
I'm like,
funny.
That is funny. And
yeah,
so
I got
like, okay.
Legendary Brave Roy. I guess a 2 banner. He came back for a banner, and I hadn't had him. He was the only one I was missing, and then. He finally appeared. I was very excited.
So,
it's funny because those units were so good when they came out.
They were,
and now they're bad. Like,
not bad per se.
Brave Ike is still one of the strongest units I've got.
I love Brave Ike. I do, but I like the power creep has overtaken him for sure. Like, I still use him on my main teams, but he's just it's just a fact that he's not He's not particularly amazing at this point.
If you have the right things on him, like I have Vantage 3, and you put that with his power and certain other skills, especially high health, he's almost unstoppable. Almost.
That's
right?
And of course,
just not true.
There's also,
it is to me.
There's also that reason of skill inheritance as well. So if you want to put in, like, I don't know, like these crazy ones, like the Quick Blade 4 from one of the dark units, Corrupt Merida, then yeah, that thing is also pretty dang dangerous. So yeah.
I
it
got
really
her
depends
too.
On how you want to do skill inheritance.
I mean, with skill inheritance, you can make anyone competent, but Brave Bike requires a lot more work. Case in point, Todd, you couldn't beat the Naga challenge with
that
him.
Was different. I literally had Ike in a position to where he was taking on like three magic users that were not the fault of my own.
Right,
and
but there are other characters who can do that and
I'm not
do the same
have,
stuff that he
could
can.
Have killed them all, but I didn't have him in my team, and then Innes wouldn't have been able to take down Naga because he's not a physical unit. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so Brave Ike is still the boss. So, but going back to what I have been playing, I have been playing Heroes. I've been doing Tempest Trial. Thank you. The Tempest Trials to get all the orbs so I can be ready for the next main banner, and I'll be back up to 300 in no time. And then, of course, I've been continuing my Phoenix Wright trilogy, which is still so good. I love this game. And then for you YouTubers out there, I highly recommend you look up Phoenix Wright Smooth Criminal.
Oh boy, here we go.
Basically, no, I'm serious. Someone took this apparently happened like 10 years ago. Someone took the sprites for the Phoenix Wright trilogy and then made some custom ones and set it to Smooth Criminal. And then he did it as a joke because he thought it'd be funny, and then it became like his most popular video, even though the first version was terrible in his own words. So he waited 10 years, did even more sprites for it, and then redid the whole video, and this thing's like bloody perfection. Alright? And he ties in like the cutscenes and all the characters, and the timing is perfectly done. But what this did for me was that it showed me how not bad, but old the original sprite art was for like the DS and the 3DS versions. And then how it looks on the Switch is like perfection in regards to quality and beautifully redone renderings. I mean, there's no pixelation in any of these of the main. There's like some dulled down art, but you know, which they could have taken like, oh, I don't know, a day to redo, but you know, whatever, Capcom. I'm still waiting for my next Phoenix Wright game. And they promised. I'm going to hold them to their word. There's something I hate worse than a person that makes a promise to me and then breaks it in one way or another. You know who you are. And no, Tyler, I'm not referring to you this time. So you still do.
I thought you were.
Bucks.
I was pretty
no.
sure that you were, to be honest.
No,
I was going to say that
I'm
was
thinking,
a good one.
I'm thinking of a higher level of two people who promised me something, and I'm waiting for their emails. But anyway.
Are you talking about Nintendo and their broken promise to make Super Mario Maker 2 good?
We're getting there. We're getting to that. And hey, it's still going to be good. It's just not going to be as good. You know the difference, Tyler. Anyway, so I'm enjoying that. I'm on one of my favorite cases, honestly, as terrible. Actually, this is an episode I love to hate. It's called Recipe for Turnabout, and I love it because it's just so stupid. All right, there's this case that Phoenix Wright apparently tried, but it wasn't him. It was a guy who, of course, looks exactly like him. He just happens to have orange skin, a scar over his left eye, and roars like a tiger and talks with a Brooklyn accent. So, of course, it's totally Phoenix, because that's exactly how he is. And everyone is fooled, except for Phoenix, when he sees this guy. He's like, how do you mess that up? I don't look like that. I don't sound like that. It's hilarious. And then Maya, who I love, she starts referring to him as Zin Ehoff, which is Phoenix spelled backwards. And it's great. And but I hate this episode because it has one of the most annoying characters ever in Mr. Armstrong, who talks like a woman, and I mean that literally, and acts like a woman, and he like portrays himself as a woman, and they refer to him as a woman even though he's a man. And this isn't even a trans joke.
It's
just
2019, Todd.
No, but
2019.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Yes, it is 2019, but this game was made like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah, and the character does not age well. Also, his eyes look like bug eyes. You know, like there's no white space there. It's like all brown, and I'm like, the frick? So, anyway, but I just love the insanity of it all. And, of course, because I'm on Trials and Tribulations, I am enjoying the presence of Godot. Godot. I have my 17 cups of coffee. But the first one's always the best. You know, Godot, the greatness of he. So I'm going to be so – by this time next week, I know I'm going to be done with the game. And it's gonna be so sad because I love this franchise. And so I'm going to have to do something else until Fire Emblem comes out, which is still – we're at least now less than 2 months away. So I can at least take solace in that. Maybe I'll go back to Xenoblade Chronicles 2. It is one of the best games ever.
No, Todd. It's the worst game. Maybe you meant to say worst.
Come on, you can't say worst, and you know you've played so many worst games.
I have never. No, I yes. can tell you with. I have never played a worst game. But I'm sure there are worse games out there. I'm sure Blast there are worse games out there. I have never put time to a worst game. When people ask me what my least favorite game is, I say Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Will, save us from this conversation.
Okay, so for me, like as usual, I have also have been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and managed to go and pull Naga during this morning with only less than 90 orbs for my
bet.
Like, hey, that's RNG and RNGesus. So yeah, when I finally got it, just want to point out right now, the artwork of Naga is bloody beautiful.
It is.
And, like, just how it's so smooth it is. And the fact that her portrait is more or less takes the entire screen when
it's cool.
With a zoom in frame is like, holy moly, they really, emphasize the data that, yeah, this is Naga. This is the goddess. You don't want to mess up her. And, yeah, basically, for me, I'm just, trying to raise up everybody as well with my, other units. And, yeah, aside from Naga, I also did manage to pull another New Year's Eve. New Year's Fjorms, which, I did bought the promo back in the day when it was offering it. Yes, I bought a unit, sue me. But, it's a basic unit set, so I'll probably will boost up there. So, yeah, I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. And also that I'll be playing for this coming weekend. And I actually got accepted into two betas. One is the Grand Blue Fantasy fighting game beta, which I'm not really too familiar with the Grand Blue series, but it's from what I've seen. I mean, again, made from Arc System Works of Grand, and combined that with their history of Blazblue Cross Tag Battle, or Guilty Gear. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Guilty Gear. Like, of course, they are just a great track record. So I'm curious to definitely try out the Grand Blue Fantasy fighting game this coming weekend. But I also got accepted to another beta, which is the online stress test for Code Vein, which basically, if you want to imagine, it's basically anime Dark Souls, created from the same team who did God Eater, which is also currently out on Switch, I believe. And for me, I played this game back in New York Comic Con, back in 2017, almost two years ago now. So finally got to try this thing again, see how they improved upon it, how they really parsed it up. I'm currently downloading all my PS4 as we speak right now, and I just can't wait to go jump back into the world of Code Vein, because it's just I play Neo, I play a bit of the Dark Souls games, and yeah, PlayZ have an anime spin to it, and just really, it really speaks to me. I mean, again, I'm an otaku. What can I say? I love anime. So, trying out Code Vein again, I can't wait for this coming weekend. And
I thought you were going to say you were in on the WoW Classic beta.
WoW Classic? What?
World of Warcraft Classic. That's when I hear beta, my friends have been nonstop talking about WoW Classic.
That was announced a while ago. You're right. I know our boss Keith was talking about it. Yeah, the World of War Classic. Remember that? Mm-hmm. But yeah, just going back, I've also been playing a bit of continuing on with the anniversary event of Overwatch, which so far no luck on the skins. But I'll just keep continuing grinding and all that. I'm almost finished up with my game of Trails of Cold Steel, which. By the time you're listening to this, next week is going to be the release of Trails of Cold Steel 2, which I currently got pre-ordered, so we got to finish up this game before I move on to the second game. So, overall, I got some games to finish up, and of course, I got my old backlog of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and of course, with the coming summer season of E3, yeah, it's going to get really busy soon, so yeah, there's a lot of games to play soon, boys.
Alright. Well, this week has been certainly interesting, in terms of content, including a press conference, an upcoming Nintendo Direct, and a fan request that we can all agree is for the best betterment of humanity and, you know, Sonic. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. First up, Nintendo has done it again! We are going to have a Nintendo Direct next Wednesday, June 5th, for Pokemon Sword and Shield, which means we literally just had the Super Mario Maker 2 Direct, and now we're having the Pokemon Direct, which makes me wonder, what are we going to see at E3? Very, very exciting. And this one will be 15 minutes. It's at 8 a.m. Central Time, which sucks, because that's literally right when I wake up. But for Pokemon, I will endure. For Pokemon. So, yeah, I was kind of taken aback by this, because obviously they're going to show Pokemon Sword and Shield at the Treehouse. That's almost undeniable. But I didn't expect them to do a full-on direct.
I told you last week, the prophet of me, something I had discussed. This is what they do, and I don't know why they do this. I don't like it. I'm excited for the direct, but... And they will definitely have Pokemon at E3. I'm sure it'll be a big Treehouse event, but I don't think that it's going to be a big focus, because we're going to get a lot here, and then we're going to see gameplay of it then. Do you guys have any theories as to why Pokemon Company is so adamant that they do it this way?
Well, I mean, I think it's both Pokemon Company and Nintendo proper, because it's a Nintendo Direct versus the Pokemon press conference, which we're going to be getting into in a bit. I think it's because... Last year, okay, it's two things. One, 2 years ago, they did like the Pokemon Mini Direct, where they revealed Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon, and they did the reveal of the Pokemon, what we now know as Sword and Shield reveal, and certain other, and a Pokemon Pokken Tournament DX. So, you know, that saved time away from the E3 reveal. And then last year, they did like the 25-minute Smash Brothers thing. So... It might be that they just decide, hey, we want to have a dedicated focus time on us, kind of like what they would do with the Mario Maker, because sure, they could have done that in part during the Nintendo Direct, or sorry, the E3 Direct, but it would have taken time away from other games, and then there's no guarantee anyone's going to watch the Treehouse. Obviously, people are, but like during the segment and then waiting for YouTube to come up, by doing it the Nintendo Direct way, they're saying, you need to be here to focus on this, but if you can't, it'll be, you know, available whenever you get home. So I think this is just their way of saying, hey, we know E3 is coming up, but we don't want to focus just on this because we got so much coming up that we want to have time for that.
I would think that Pokemon would be the center, it would be what they would want to make the centerpiece of their E3. Because that's what most Pokemon's going to get eyes on it no matter what. Like, I'm sure that they've done their market research on it. It's just interesting.
Well, for me, like, it feels like, because again, Pokemon's such a big thing, I guess it only would make sense for it to have its own little, like, mini direct. Because, like, do you want to put Pokemon into a Nintendo digital presentation of E3 where it has to compete with other things? Because it feels like Pokemon itself is, like, already itself a one big identity already, so I don't think it needs to go and compete into like with its Nintendo E3 presentation, feels like. So I think the Pokemon Company has the right idea to just give Pokemon their own separate direct, because it's just, yeah, it's Pokemon, so don't need to compete with, like, I don't know, Astral Chain or what other things Nintendo's cooking up in this year's E3. So that's what I feel like.
And I think that, again, last year was all about Smash Brothers for the most part. I mean, we had big releases, sure, but it was really all about Smash Brothers, and they wanted to dedicate time to that. Whereas this year, yes, there's Pokemon, but they know that as great as Pokemon is, it's gonna sell and without as much hype. You know, like think of the response to Pokemon Let's Go. It didn't have nearly as much hype, but it still sold millions upon millions of copies and was the top thing on Black Friday for video games. Right. And yet, this is a core franchise, the core titles. It's going to sell well, and they're using this Direct and no doubt E3 and the Treehouse to show off what players can expect, and they know it's going to sell, versus something like, say, Luigi's Mansion 3 or Animal Crossing Switch, which will sell, but they want to make sure that it's known, and there might be some surprises there. And so they're saying, at least in my interpretation, hey, what we know this is going to get attention, so let's put the 15 minutes here, that we save ourselves some time for E3, because we, again, we don't know in full what they're showing. We only know what we can guess. And I think when they're doing these two, the referencing Super Mario Maker and now Pokemon, they're dedicating the time to show that they care about these games, not unlike what they did for ARMS a couple of years back, and Tyler's greatest game of all time. And,
agreed.
Yeah. So they're just giving it the time it deserves without having it be in the E3 machine, because they want to show off as much as they can during E3. At least that's how I see it. I have left Tyler speechless. It's about dang time.
Yeah, I just said that makes sense. I like that explanation for sure.
Thank you. That's why I am the host. Moving on. So anyway, but we will of course be breaking down all of that Pokemon news in next week's show, so stay tuned for that. Oh, what's that? You thought there's no more Pokemon news? Wow, you really missed out on a lot, didn't you? Because not like a day, or maybe a couple hours, I can't remember when the announcement was, after the Pokemon Direct announcement, Pokemon Company said, oh, by the way, we're going to have a global press conference to talk about all the things that we have coming up in the world. So, and I do mean that literally. Because they talked about the Pokemon Evolution movie, basically the 3D remake of the original movie, which I don't know why they're doing it in 3D. The first one was perfection! It was perfection! They had Pokemon crying and bringing Ash to life. What? You can't recreate that in 3D. Calm me down. And then they talked about having a new Pokemon Center opening up. I think it was in, what was it, in China, Will, or something like that. And
I think it's in Singapore.
Oh, it's Singapore.
I think somewhere around those lines.
Yeah, it was Singapore. I remember now. So that was pretty cool. And then they announced a couple new Pokemon games / services. Let's talk about the first one, which I honestly think was one of the more interesting ones. If you recall, a few weeks back, we talked about how DNA, who is the mobile company that Nintendo acquired to help run their mobile initiative, they have a game coming out next March in an official Pokemon title for mobile, and we now know it's called Pokemon Masters. And based on what we saw in the press conference, it's going to be a 3v3 RPG-esque game where you, your own character, is teaming up with basically every major important fan favorite Pokemon character from the last 20 plus years. All right, we saw Red and Blue, Brock and Misty, we saw Cynthia from the Sinnoh region, we saw Lance, obviously, because Lance is Lance, and some of the other trainer characters from the game. So they're all going to be in here, and they're going to be in some kind of an RPG setting, which is cool, which makes it obviously different from Pokemon Go. So, yeah, okay, we are, and apparently we will be seeing more either at E3, because they said, June, or sometime after that. So, exciting.
Yeah, that looked cool to me. I was following this, on Twitter, so I didn't get to see it live. It almost seems like this is, an extension of the Pokemon Battle Tree from Sun and Moon. Every 10 floors, you would fight a Pokemon legend of the past, and Cynthia and Red and Blue were among them. That was a lot of fun. I think this could be a lot of fun too. We'll have to keep an eye on it to see how it develops, because it does feel a bit like a mini game to me. If they wanted to really blow out the concept, it feels like it could be like an amazing new console experience take, and they're kind of going with it on a mobile device, so I'm expecting a little more of a half measure, but we'll see. It's a good idea.
Right. Like, when I saw that, that trailer bit at the end of the presentation, wow, they're, one thing for sure, seeing Brock flex like that, back to basically paying tribute to the classic game, wow. And then, of course, have Misty, Cynthia, which a lot of people love her. Is like, oh boy, it's, yeah, I'm getting the feeling that they're going to make a lot more money with this game, I feel like.
they'll make money, but Pokemon Go money, that remains to be seen, all right? Because that thing's made billions.
Yeah, this is for a little bit more of the dedicated Pokemon fan, whereas Pokemon Go is just an anybody pick up a phone
and get
into it.
So, but again, we will be giving new details on it soon. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'd be a good, interesting experience. Speaking of experiences, so, we all know that Nintendo has a habit of doing some weird things, and apparently, the Pokemon company has picked up on this and decided to do it themselves. Because, as Tyler noted, Pokemon Go was really about, picking up your phone and going out into the world and trying to catch Pokemon. So now, I still can't believe they did this, they are going to expand the experience by having you earn things in the game and beyond when you sleep. Okay.
I'm in. I'm
Yeah.
in. If this is a game that involves sleeping, I am 100% committed. Love it. Great idea.
I don't. How is this supposed to work? And I was listening to them. I really was. I was trying to listen as I was writing up some of the other news stories about this from this conference. And they're like, "Oh yeah, there's gonna be like a monitor that'll register you sleeping, and it'll bring that experience points into the game." And I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, that's one thing that's definitely something to think about. Like, okay, like we always know that Pokemon Go has always done something so unique. Okay, the Pokemon Walker, the Pokemon Go, including the Let's Go Eevee thing. Okay, those are very nice and all, but using sleep as a gameplay mechanic—that is something that's very left field, if not very unusual. Because, like, how the heck are you gonna go and incorporate sleep as a gameplay method? Like, are you gonna like I don't know. Is this similar to what, like a cat that sleeps next to you? You hear it will listen to your purr, or like I don't know, like especially with that new accessory they showed off. Like, how is it
The
gonna work?
Pokemon Go Plus, as it's called.
That thing is like a much more bigger thing. Like that thing's like huge, like almost like a medallion size shapes. And like, how is that gonna work? Like, put it next to you, it measures you. Like I don't know, some sort of a dream catcher, some sort of state. I don't know. It just like
It has to be something that's completely stupid and will not factor in. It can't possibly work in any way. Like, I can't imagine. I cannot conceive. I cannot grasp the true form of both the Pokemon Go Plus Plus and how it's going to tie into playing Pokemon while you sleep. So Todd, you wrote the article on this. Is it a Pokemon Go extension, or is it its own app?
It claimed like it was both,
It's being
and
developed by Select Button, which recently worked on the mobile game Magikarp Jump.
yeah, Magikarp Jump. I remember them saying that. So I don't know. I honestly didn't write this one up because it was just too weird. All right. I mean, but don't get me wrong. If this was some kind of a device, and let me explain before you guys react. But if this was some kind of a device that actually projected a Pokemon that you could sleep next to, just like in the cartoon, or like in the trailer for this experience, and I'm doing the air quotes right now, experience, that I could get behind. But this is just you sleeping, and it affects a game somehow. And they were so bent on it. They were like, this is like, you could see the president going like, this is the coolest thing ever. We're giving you a good reason to sleep. Oh, Mr. President, I know a good reason to sleep. It's called living.
Yeah, I agree. I was very confused by this. It also was very funny. I thought that it was an Onion article when I first saw it. I did not believe that it was actually Pokemon's Twitter that was making these claims, and yet it was. Yeah, no, Pokemon sleep, that's gonna be a thing, and it's probably gonna be I'm gonna be amazing at it.
It's definitely gonna be unusual the once it comes out because again, remember back in the day of Hey You Pikachu, like we actually had to go and buy the accessory to actually talk to Pikachu, and a lot of people really thought that thing was a pretty unique thing back in the N64 days. So, I mean, again, we're playing Pokemon on mobile. We're now gonna have using sleep on this. I mean, I'm open to it. Maybe it will take me by surprise, but it's definitely a left field thing to use sleep of all things as a gameplay mechanic.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, do you remember the vitality sensor?
Which it canned it, which is sadly enough, they canned it.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I remember this is one of Mr. Iwata's inventions, and
Oh, yeah.
it was supposed to like help detect your heart rate, and like they could use it for games or for health reasons. And it was just so shoehorned into the E3 press conference it was unveiled at. But it was just, he was so excited for it, you could tell. He's like, he had a vision for it, and this is just what I think about when I think of Pokemon Sleep, because it's like, you're gonna have an experience when you sleep. I'm like, it's called dreams, Doc. What do you want? So I don't know. I just don't know. It why? I
You
don't know.
never know. You
I
never
know. I'm
know.
trying to be open-minded, but it's just like, did you see like the memes after this announcement? Okay, like
Yeah, that
there
is pretty
was
much their
one called
strategy.
Pokemon Crap, except with much stronger language, if you get my drift. And like that's the next extension, because we're gonna give you a Pokemon experience as you're going to the bathroom. Because it's like that's what this sounded like. It was just like, oh gosh.
It's pretty much is their plan to increase their Pokemon Mobile initiative. We got Pokemon Go, we got Pokemon Home, we got Pokemon Sleep, Go Home Sleep, and what's next? We gotta go pull home, play games. Like it's almost like it's gets so much dad parent jokes right there. It's not even funny. It's like Pokemon Go Home, Pokemon Go Sleep.
What's
No.
what? Pokemon, go do homework! Do it now! Or
I have a
Pokemon
feeling they'll
chores.
probably do
Yeah.
that.
I know parents will like that one. Pokemon, go do chores. Oh boy. Okay, let's move on to something that is actually visible and tangible. Pokemon Home. So if you recall the Pokemon Bank, that was a service on the 3DS that allowed you to transfer Pokemon from past games, present games, and certain other titles into one storage unit so that you didn't have to keep, transferring it from 3DS to the DS to the 3DS and blah 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 blah. And now the Pokemon Home, where all Pokemon can live, or whatever that catchphrase was, is gonna be a cloud-based streaming service. Oh, sorry, a place where all Pokemon gather. Yes, gather. So it's basically you can import Pokemon from the 3DS titles, Pokemon Let's Go, Pokemon Go, Pokemon Sword and Shield, and you could do it on your phone or on your Nintendo Switch. So it's literally the evolution of the Pokemon Bank, where every Pokemon that you have can put into this one place, and it'll be safe.
Yeah, this was pretty cool to me. I mean, I didn't use the Pokemon Bank because I started playing Pokemon on the 3DS. But I was excited about this. My buddy, who's a Pokemon diehard fan, was even more excited about it. It's nice to be able to bring Pokemon from Pokemon Go into your other games. I think that that's going to be the big draw. And I think to me, that's something that would get me to play Pokemon Go again with the announcement of the Pokemon Gen 8 coming out. That motivates me to be able to kind of go back and get a Ninetales or eight or and import that into the game. I'm not sure if it'll work exactly that way, but it's a good idea, I think.
I really have no strong opinion because, like,
Ugh.
I'm
You
sorry,
have a
not the
thousand
Pokemon.
opinions on Pokemon Sleep, which is in nothing, and yet this is you have
Well,
nothing to say?
Okay, for the
Pokemon
service
itself
itself,
is not
everyone has
really like
strong
really
opinions
didn't
on.
resonate with me as much because again, I appreciate regarding to how the Pokemon Bank services and like what they're basically like trying to do, like especially like if you really are heavily interested in Pokemon from like I don't know, Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee, the Pokemon games, and probably eventually. They're gonna do with Sword and Shield, like okay, you gotta bring in your Pokemon to this like universal service. They like, bring your Pokemon anywhere you go. It's like okay, I respect. Like that's pretty cool in the grand scheme of things. I mean, for me, it's just like okay, bring your Pokemon anywhere. Okay, that's it. I'm kind of indifferent on this. I'm
All
sorry.
right, whatever. Anyway, I like this. I don't know if I'll ever use it just because. I mean, I always liked starting fresh with my Pokemon. I've never been like Tyler, who's an IV trainer, even though I did get the EVs from him, and I'm still grateful for that. I always like starting fresh with my Pokemon games. But I know a lot of people who will want this because they are those hardcore collectors, which is great. And then they said that they're going to expand the feature, so there'll also be a trading service. You could also do battles once it goes online. So. Yeah, I can appreciate this, and for a lot of the even more diehard fans of Pokemon than I am, who value every Pokemon they have ever raised over the past seven generations, this will be a great experience for them. So this was an actual good feature that you shouldn't sleep on. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just saying, because if you do miss out on this, it'll be a living nightmare.
Oh.
Oh yeah. I can hear you snoring, Will. All right, okay. Finally, the other honestly really big announcement is that we are going to get a sequel to the Detective Pikachu game, and it will be on the Nintendo Switch. I call it a Detective Pikachu 2 because honestly, that's what it is. But
did
it
they
will be...
say that? Did they clarify whether or not this game will be getting a release like 3 years after it's come out in Japan and after everyone has forgotten about it?
No. Being that they announced it, you know, last whatever, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a more simultaneous release. But of course, it is Japan, so you never know. But
yeah.
based on what I'm seeing, and especially after the success of the Detective Pikachu movie, it's going to be more likely a simultaneous release. So, yeah.
Right,
honestly don't have much information outside. It's going to be on Switch. It will be, according to the president, it will be the conclusion of the story, because the first one ended on a cliffhanger. Basically, everyone died. No, I'm kidding. I didn't play the first game. And they did say definitively that it will end differently than the Detective Pikachu movie. So, you know, kind of like it's kind of like Game of Thrones. yes.
Will, that could not have sounded more forced.
Yeah.
I've seen the Detective Pikachu movie, and like again, the movie itself was great. I personally loved the movie. So, but the game itself, like. From what I've seen from the 3DS version, even, like, some people, like, it's basically a giant visual novel, which, like, you just basically press one button to go with some few quick-time events. So I just can't help but wonder, like, how they're gonna do with this, like, this next game, like, this Detective Pikachu 2. Like, are they gonna, like, probably incorporate a bit more to it instead of, like, just being a one big visual novel quick-time event thing? And, of course, with that, like, new, brand-new ending to the story, like, whoa. Like, is it going to be really fulfilling? I mean, the questions are there. But yeah. From what I've heard, like, the Detective Pikachu game on the 3DS wasn't really greatly revered, to say the least.
Okay. It was revered enough to get a movie, and it was big in Japan. So, you know, clearly someone liked it. And again, it's getting a sequel. So, you know, again, they had to do something, right? But, and I would bet money after the Detective Pikachu movie that the sales skyrocketed.
No, of course.
So, but I'm excited for that because that's another Pokemon game on Switch, and it's another exclusive, so I'm sure that'll make some people happy. Unlike Super Mario Maker 2!
Oh, anyway. Boy.
Yeah. Alright, so remember a few weeks ago when we were, like, all excited to play, you know, the game together and try and screw each other out of levels and then trading, you know, level makers and all that? Yeah, you can't do that, apparently. Because during a demo session, I guess, of the press, of which the press said that the game was awesome, the Nintendo was asked if multiplayer functions would include playing with your friends, aka setting up lobbies online, like what I would have to do with Tyler and Will, and, you know,
literally
playing that.
Literally the reason why you would want to play online.
Pretty much. Well, you could still do the whole, you know, stages and downloading and the endless mode and all that. Those are still pretty fun. Anyway, but there was a speculation going around that you couldn't play with friends in lobbies, and Nintendo answered saying, "This is true. As the game is now, you cannot create friend lobbies online. You can only play online with randoms." I love that they use the word randoms, just for the record. They're talking gamer speak. Anyway, you can still get friends together and play with local play, and you're free to play with four players on one Nintendo Switch system. You can also still challenge your friends to your creations and take on their designs through course IDs and having them follow your maker profile. Yeah.
It's a disgrace. It's a absolute... I was literally red in the face when I read this on Twitter. I was so angry. It's the most basic thing in the world. And they said, oh, it's because we need online leaderboards. They wouldn't work somehow. I'm not sure how they wouldn't work. I'm sure that there's an actual reason. Regardless, the competitive angle of this, it's Super Mario Maker. It's
right.
Smash Bros.,
right.
Which is competitive angle, is a joke. Like the Super Smash Bros., their 10-pole competitive game, has poor online and poor online infrastructure and a lack of a meaningful ranked mode. And somehow they're saying, well, Mario Maker 2, a casual game that literally you want to play online with your friends for this, outside of sending maps, of course, that's great. And I'm glad we can do that. If you couldn't do that, it would be like the 3DS version of the game, just no reason for it to exist. But the fact that you can't, the fact that you can't go online and play courses with your friends, but you can with random people, makes absolutely no sense. It makes zero sense. It is unacceptable that this is a product in 2019. It made me, I honestly was so angry when I read this with Nintendo that I was like, I don't know. I kind of am just done with Nintendo. Like, to mess this up this badly, and then after I cooled down, I thought, I'm probably still going to buy this game. It's my fault. I'm letting them get it. So now I've decided I am not buying this game until they've added that. I cannot support it. It's unbelievable how stupid and incompetent they are. I am so angry about this, and I feel that everybody, I would love for the Nintendo community to unite and send them a message instead of.
They kind of did. Did you see the trash tags? It was terrible.
Yeah, it was. It was. But you also have to go into the Nintendo YouTube or Twitter comments threads, and you see so many people. Oh, it's not that serious. It's not that big of a deal. You guys are overreacting. No. No, it is. It is a big deal. This is 101. If this game came out on Xbox in the year 2002, you would be able to play online with your friends. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm honestly with you, Tyler. This is another case of Nintendo 3 steps forward, 1 step back, because going into that Direct, everything they were showing was just the coolest thing. You know, new themes, special editions, the moon, the night games, endless mode, the co-op play, and yet they just happen to not mention, you know, oh, friends and lobbies, that's not a thing. And when we didn't hear it, we didn't think about it, because it's like, oh, this is basic stuff. This is like Smash Brothers or Splatoon, which admittedly Splatoon could, you know, use a few more upgrades itself, but still you could at least play with friends. And yet here we are, Super Mario Maker 2. And they don't do that. And they don't do it in the literal worst way possible. It would honestly have been better if they didn't have, like, if they didn't even have co-op play at all. Okay? Because then you could at least say it wasn't a function. You could still do, like, the stage swapping and everything else. But, right, you know, if they didn't have, like, multiplayer at all, that would have at least been a decent excuse, because you say, well, they're not doing anything on that level. They're just, you could swap levels with players and do the endless mode, and that's fine. But you have the online play, and yet we can only play with random people. Really?
Yeah. Just, I'm pretty much in consensus as well, because this is the thing that it's so, as you said, it's so basic regardless of system-wise in PS4, in Xbox. And you expect this from Nintendo to get their online things already done already. And this is like one of their Nintendo moves. Like, we had that function in the original Splatoon, in Splatoon 2, all these other games, like, heck, even in Smash Bros. We can do this thing and play in separate lobbies, all that, no problem. And the fact you omit this basic feature, like, basic function in a multiplayer game function in Super Mario Maker 2, is like, what are you doing, Nintendo? This is the most basic thing of all, and you omit that, and you said, no, we go to play with randos, not with your friends, and the only way you could play with friends is play if you're sitting right next to you. Are you kidding me, Nintendo? Have you not learned from the digital age yet? We're in the internet. We need to be connected through it. And, like, yeah, pretty much everyone was, like, they really exclaimed, like, you can't play with your friends online. Nintendo, what have you been doing these past few games? Like, have you not seen everybody else? This is kind of the age we live in. We play with our friends through online.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it is kind of a sad thing, but that we don't play like local co-op now and then. But that's kind of what the mainstream is. There's a common thing. We play with our friends online, so we can't play with friends online on Super Mario Maker, just because of it would disturb the leaderboards. Mario
cares?
In the leaderboards, right, is like, come on, that's not what we play with Mario for. Mario and Mario Party is pretty much the things that maybe more or less screws up and breaks friendships. That's
yes.
The reason why we want to play.
Yeah.
Not just because, not we don't want to go for high times or quick runs. Hey, that's a separate community right there for speed runs. When it comes to Mario Maker, then we want to screw each other. That's what we want to do. And especially if it comes to friends, because we want to go choke each other just because,
yes,
like, why you stepped on me? Why you gotta push me off, you freaking, yes. Yes.
I want to crush Will right before the finish line, just like I do with Tyler in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It's that kind of a thing. All right.
Yes, that's kind of the part there. While it may appear that it's kind of like a bad behavior, that is unfortunately part of experience. Like, we want to, like, more or less screw each other over. That's kind of part of the fun.
Yeah.
So Like, yeah, playing with randos is just not as engaging because, like, we have no idea who these strangers are. So, why? Just
I don't
why?
Yeah, and here, like, can you guys, because I might be missing something, I feel like I'm missing something extremely obvious. When they say the leaderboards won't work, why
No,
don't they want you to play with your friends for the online leaderboards?
well,
Why?
apparently, like they said, like if you play with that function, yeah, it would basically manipulate, like makes it easier for like people to take advantage of the leaderboards. Like, I think they kind of
How?
said
Wouldn't you
it's.
want your wouldn't you want people to be able, like, you, I would love to team up with you guys and try to set record times and stuff like that on different courses. Like, I don't think that playing with friends should be a negative for that. Like,
Right. So that's kind of the weird thing as well. Like the way they just explain, like, is because it would be easy to manipulate the leaderboards. Like, what? Like, dude, one again, Mario Maker is not really much of a competitive game. It's like if you set a new record in all time, fine. That's kind of like the icing on the cake. But like to basically set it will alter the leaderboards. For Splatoon 2, like it's really nothing much. And with Mario Maker, like we're not really. I mean, there are those who don't want to go set leaderboards or just like be top one all the time. It's like there is the part that part. So, and again, Mario Maker is not really much competitive. It's just casual fun platformer. And to really want to like push this competitive agenda into Mario Maker is like for the sake and omit basic online functionality in this game because of it. Yeah, that's gonna rub some people off. Yes.
let's have a vote, guys. What would you rather have? Online leaderboards or being able to play with your friends online?
Yeah,
Play with our friends
number two.
Hello, leaderboards. Gosh, I'm kidding. So, I don't know. Now, the only hope we have is that the backlash for this was so strong. Again, it was on Twitter for a very long time after the news broke. Only hope that we have is that during this next month that we have, that they might do maybe a day one patch, possibly,
Right. That's what I hope so. That's what
that
they
could
do.
fix things. I mean, that's honestly the hope that we have to have right now. So.
This is just very ironic because, like, now with this major outrage of another franchise, I guess Nintendo has to say they gotta change fast.
Hi-oh. Was that fast changing to save production and results? Why, that sounds like the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Yeah. So what was supposed to be the big news of the week, and obviously Pokemon Sleep was so much bigger news than Sonic the Hedgehog, clearly, because that was an experience, whereas Sonic the Hedgehog is just a groan, right, Tyler? So anyway, we have official confirmation that the Sonic the Hedgehog movie has been delayed to February 14th, 2020, so that they can fix the look of Sonic the Hedgehog. And the director, Jeff Fowler, officially tweeted this out, saying, "Taking a little more time to make Sonic just right." So, and then he made a hashtag. What was he? No VFX artists were harmed in the making of this movie. Well, I wouldn't go that far, Hotshot, but yeah, the intent is there. Because honestly, if I was a visual effects artist who actually made that version of Sonic the Hedgehog, I want to gouge my eyes out, but that's just me. So, but
It
yes,
definitely
Tyler, please take
is.
the lead on this.
Yeah, I was very excited to see them. I kind of announced a delay. We had talked about, and you were understandably skeptical about the fact that they were actually going to be able to go back and make meaningful changes with the release just around the corner.
Right.
The 3 extra months will help a lot. I do wonder when we'll see this movie again for the next time. I would love, like, all I would just feel so much better if they constantly were updating us on Twitter with, like, okay, here's what we're thinking now, and then like render the model and like let you spin it around so we can just continue to tell them, okay, now we need to do this and we need to do that, because I just don't trust them still after how badly they messed it up the first time. But I think the delay is going to really benefit the movie overall. I'm glad that Sega, who I would have to think is responsible for this, I don't think Paramount would really
Course not.
care. I
Of
think it's
course
Sega,
not.
yeah, it had to be Sega saying, okay, well, this has gone too far. I'm glad that they seem to have learned their lesson about just releasing games and now movies on a set timetable because they did it for 06 and it almost killed the franchise. And Team Sonic Racing looked really bad when it was supposed to be released in November and they delayed it until May. And now it's a solid game. So, good things.
I just can't help but wonder if this thing was just one big ploy, I feel like. Like, they showed off the trailer. Like, somebody on the team's gotta know that this design would not sit well. And they still pushed it. And, like, and they lo and behold, we got that outrage. Everybody didn't like it. Some people kind of liked it and just, like, want to see it just because it was so bad. And now, like, okay, we got the message now and here. You don't like the design. We're going to push it back by 3 months to next year so we can improve this thing. And, like, okay, even the creator of Sonic says, like, okay, like, thank you for the fans for changing the design. But, like, Paramount, like, Hollywood, come on. Like, the fact that you don't even recognize, like, the mistake that you're making, especially when it's concerned a major brand like Sonic, and you decide to push a product like that into the mainstream, and you know you're going to get blowback?
I got four words for you. Super Mario Brothers movie. That wasn't even close.
Well, yeah, that was, like, infamously, like, bad. That's for sure. But I don't know. I have a strange soft spot for that movie. But I digress.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know
about it. Like, okay. It's like, it's such a, like, apparently that movie went through development hell trying to find director and trying to attach a star, and they had all these guys lined up and they kept just butchering it, and the writers wanted one thing and the director wanted another and Miyamoto wanted another, and then the end result was a bunch of compromises that led to an unbelievably bad movie.
Going back to Sonic, I am honestly very happy about this delay, if for no other reason than this shows that occasionally people actually listen to the people who are going to actually watch this movie with their paying money. So, because the backlash for this was just so huge. Now, obviously, we're not going to get everything fixed. There's no way they're going to reshoot a bunch of scenes with Jim Carrey and Eggman and all that, which I guess I'll allow. But Sonic was the big thing. They totally butchered the look of Sonic. And again, fans on the internet took the model that they had and took, like, I don't know, an hour or two and made it much more pleasing to the eyes. And so, yeah, and I don't think this was a stunt, Will, because any delay costs the publisher distributor money. All right, especially when they say, hey, we're going to release it on this date. Now they have to push back the marketing, they're gonna have to push back, you know, the promotion and all this stuff and the any final effects for the movie, because now they have to redo all the scenes with Sonic, and that's going to cost them money, which of course no you know, movie studio wants. You know, they don't want to spend more money on a film of this nature, especially when it could get, you know, destroy. And again, Detective Pikachu is honestly one of the very, very few examples of a successful adaptation of a video game movie. Mortal Kombat, the original, being the other, and I guess the first Tomb Raider movie. So, you know, I'm just glad they're fixing this, because if it had come out like it was, oh my gosh. And he thought Mario was bad. So, at least they tried. At least they tried. There was no trying in making this Sonic model. I mean, what the heck? So, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at Sonic, and it's just like, why?
It's just the one, the worst one. Because actually, every now and again, I'll see, like, a certain angle, and I'm like, it's actually not horrifying.
Yeah.
But then you see that one where he's sitting in the car seat, and his face is turned to the right, and it's just like, or to his left, and it's just... What is this amorphous blob of a creature?
Yeah, I still can't get over the legs. The legs are just too long. They're too flexible. I mean, he's got to go fast. He doesn't have to do the squats, all right? That's not Sonic the freaking Hedgehog. So, yeah, that's happening. And so hopefully they'll take the next, you know, however many months and focus on doing a good job. That is all we're asking. All right, this is a beloved character. It's one of Tyler's favorites, or so I'm hearing. And yeah, and so just do it right. All right, okay, thank you, goodbye. All right, so at the time of this recording, we are less than 10 days away from E3 2019.
Aye.
And the news and announcements are just slowly picking up. We're hearing more from Ubisoft. We're hearing more from Square Enix. Xbox is actually going to try and do a good show this year. Oh my gosh! I mean,
Mm.
they said it, and they said that they are now going to show like 14 original games. 14! And they said that that's the most they've ever shown at an E3 press conference before. Gee, that sounds like a problem. I don't know. So, again, but now the pressure is really on Nintendo to deliver. And it's not just with the first parties like we talked about last week. It's also about the third parties and delivering exclusive or even, semi-exclusive content. So it's time to go on the road to E3. Alright, so ever since the launch of the Switch, the third party support has been very impressive. Even the duds like Mortal Kombat 11. The fact that we got it on the Switch still speaks volumes, okay? So put your feelings to the side, Tyler. And then, of course, for every Mortal Kombat that we got, we've gotten Mario plus Rabbids, we've got Octopath Traveler, and we're getting Bayonetta 3 and Astral Chain. We're getting the good stuff. So the question is, what do we hope or expect to see from third parties at this year's E3? Will, I want to start with you.
Like for me, like the third parties on the third party side of things. I mean, clearly, I'm very excited to know more about Astral Chain. I mean, again, any. Thing that from Platinum Games, I am definitely looking forward to. The first thing that's on the top of my mind right now is regarding to Atlas, and can you please show me more of Shin Megami Tensei 5? Because again, ever since that teaser trailer we got, I know you've been working hard deeply. I'd be very surprised, be very happy if you just showed up another teaser trailer. I mean, I know you're working hard, Atlas. I know you're gonna want this game to be one of the best games ever, and I respect you and thank you for that. But throw us a bone here. We're kind of in a desert, we're in a desert of information right now. We need something for Shin Megami Tensei 5. And like, I mean, the basic from the last trailer we saw from Shin Megami Tensei 5, I really like. Again, it's pretty much going back to the basics and basically everything we love about Shin Megami Tensei. I've got a whole apocalyptic theme. So I just want to know, like, what will be the main features? Is there any game, anything, any like influences from like I don't know, Persona, the recent Persona, Catherine? Like, are I gonna put in some influences? Like, what are you gonna put? What is gonna be the theme? What kind of other god deities are we gonna go slay against? Like, that's one thing I want to know. Like, a bit more. Like, just show us a teaser for Shin Megami Tensei V again, and I'll be happy. So on the third party side of things, that's one thing I want from Atlas. I mean, aside from them, like other third-party companies that I can only imagine, like I could definitely want to see maybe something from Nippo Ichi Software if they're gonna like bring in something regarding to the sky or something else entirely. I mean, XSEED and Marvelous. Like aside from like, okay, allow me to be base here. Yes, I want them to show a bit more Seren Kagura, but
Ah,
of course we
gosh,
have for
Phil.
Peach. I mean, again, they're gonna be showing Peach Ball. Peach Ball is coming out this coming July, so I mean, again, it would be very nice. But again, this is probably a consumer show, so I doubt it. But
You
eh,
think?
who knows?
You
Who knows?
think?
But I digress. I digress. Is like if they show up like something else, like there's I don't know, like the Fates games or something else. Like the third parties, they have some potential. Like from XSEED, Marvelous, Nippo Ichi Software. I mean, heck, I'd be very surprised if Ubisoft has something to offer on Nintendo Switch to come in the coming years. So that the overall, I'm just kind of like wondering what's gonna be. But Sega is definitely one of the main concerns I really want them to like bring out because again, as in back ever since they acquired Atlas, they said Atlus has full rein and full like to use their any other old IPs. So like with Nintendo and F-Zero, I want like Atlus or yeah, Atlus to do something with Sega's old IPs. I mean, yeah, we're getting Shenmue 3 down the line for PS4 and almost seeing like a revival of old IPs, hopefully. So, yes, I'm gonna go and continue to preach. Please bring us Skies of
I
Arcadia.
knew it.
I'll be
I knew he
happy.
was gonna say that.
I'm sorry, because like, heck, like, we've been bit. For all Nintendo users, we've been begging for some sort of like a virtual console. Like, we're slowly getting classic games. Like, how about some N64 games, GameCube games, of that sort? I mean, I'll be very happy if Nintendo announces that they're gonna bring in GameCube games to Nintendo Switch.
Bring
But
back
yeah.
Golden Axe. If Sega's bringing back a franchise, bring back Golden Axe. Or Monkey Ball. Bring back Monkey Ball.
Yeah, Monkey Ball is also a good, yeah, as well. So, yeah, like, all these, like, classic games. Heck, I would just bring it as an HD port. You don't have to remake it. Just bring an HD port and I'll be happy. It's, like there's the reason. I mean, heck, even, like, with old games like Power Stone. Yeah, like, Power Stone, all that. Like, yeah, just bring these things back, like a Sega Classics collection and all of that sort. Like, also, like, a Dreamcast collection. So, like, just something, yes. Bring something like that to the Switch, and then that's going to continue to sell big on your console. But not sure regarding if there's going to be, like, a contractual clause because it's, like, based on Sony. I don't know. But, like, if you bring, like, a Dreamcast Classic Collection to the Nintendo Switch, or heck, even we're going to get this Sega Genesis Classic that's coming out later on down the line. But, yeah, bring something like that, and I think we have to have another reason to own a Switch. So yeah, something big from Sega's. That's what I expect from Sega, and as well from Shin Tensei 5.
All right, Tyler.
I actually want to start where Will ended, because I do think that we'll see some Sega Ages stuff on Switch. I would love, as Will stated about Skies of Arcadia, I really want those Sonic Adventure games on Switch. I would also enjoy Skies of Arcadia, Jet Set Radio. I think that would be a cool announcement. I don't know if they would announce that stuff at E3. I hope that they do. I think that would be really cool. I also think that it might be time to see what the new Sonic the Hedgehog core series game is. Forces came out in 2017, so that's a year and a half ago. They said that they're working on a new project. I'm not convinced that we, if you ask me to bet, do I think we'll see it or do I think we won't? Honestly, we probably won't, but I would like to see that from Sega. And I definitely think Shin Megami Tensei 5 is there in some way. Definitely a new trailer at the very least. I hope we see some gameplay, because that's a game that I have circled off on my calendar. We're also definitely going to be seeing Doom Eternal. We'll definitely see Astral Chain, although I guess is that second party. I don't know. That's Platinum, but we'll see.
Platinum's third party.
Is it okay?
Yeah, because they still do like games for other systems, like.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was wondering if Nintendo was like publishing it, if that changed the thing. I honestly don't know what a second party game is. I'm just gonna come out and confess. You can tweet at me.
It's complicated.
I should know, but I don't. Fallout 4, I think we could see from Bethesda. I think they're going to bring another old game over to Switch. It's one that we've been talking about for a long time. If not 4, I do think we'll get 3 or New Vegas. We haven't heard anything from Bethesda on the Nintendo front for a minute, outside of the fact that they're still happy with how their games have done. So I believe that we'll probably get another old Bethesda game over.
Maybe we'll
Switch.
Get Fallout 76.
Does anybody still play that?
Yes.
The Bayonetta 3 will definitely be there in some way as well. But stuff that we're not sure of, there's a new Tales of project in the works. That will probably come to Switch, and I think we'll see that at E3.
I'm sorry to interject, but like, didn't Hideo Baba, like the creator of Tales, like also left it at Namco Bandai a while back? Because I know he has his own little different studios, and like, because he was the creator of Tales. I know like probably Bandai Namco is going to make their own Tales things without him, but are they really going to? Is there rumors of a new Tales game being created?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I believe so. I mean, let me double check, but I'm confident that there is.
Because I know like Hideo Baba left the company a while back and did his own thing, and plus he was also did another project that was supposed to be made of, but unfortunately that also got canceled in the end as well from Square Enix, if I last remembered. So,
well, there's definitely
the
mobile game coming. So they're still doing Tales of games. I expect that we'll hear something at E3 about a new one.
All right.
I mean, fair question though. I think the biggest thing that we're getting is the Nintendo Microsoft kind of team up. I don't know what Nintendo is going to do for them, but the discussion around the Master Chief Collection and Xbox Game Pass coming to Switch is it's everywhere. It seems like the worst kept secret in the industry right now, and I would put money on the fact that is going to be there in some way. Xbox Game Pass coming to Switch, bringing a whole slew of Xbox games, and that would be huge. I mean, that might just be all the third-party support that you need right there. So that would be fantastic. And I just, this is just a wish, but there is so much discussion around Banjo-Kazooie right now that, and that series is so tied to Nintendo that I just hope so much that Rare develops a Banjo-Kazooie game that releases on the Switch as well as the Xbox. And then in exchange, Nintendo develops a game that releases for both Xbox and Switch. But Microsoft and Nintendo are definitely going to have some sort of united presence at E3. Considering Sony's not there, it's the two of them, instead of going at each other's throats, I do think will have some collaborations to unveil.
All right, for me, obviously I do agree we're going to get a lot on Astral Chain because that's in August, and then Bayonetta 3 will be some capacity. Hopefully we'll get at the very least another teaser trailer, if not a full trailer with the announce date for maybe early 2020, which I think would be a great way to start the year. I'm hoping that we get, well, first off, we should get more on Daemon X Machina. I mean,
Oh yeah,
we all forgot about that game. That was said to be coming out in 2019. So hopefully we get more on that from Marvelous, especially after the prototype missions were done and that those were, I heard, were successful. So let's hope we hear more from that. But I'm really hoping that we get a game from Square Enix. Like, I know we got the Oninaki game, but that's multi-platform. I'm not saying we'll get an announcement per se about Octopath Traveler 2, even though technically we've already gotten it. But I would like to see, what Square Enix said that based on the success of Octopath Traveler, that they were going to be doing something more for the Switch. And then they basically announced the sequel to Octopath Traveler, which is awesome. But everyone's thinking that they're going to do another Bravely game. And now is the perfect time to announce it at E3 2019. So hopefully we get that. And if they throw something else in there, I'm not going to be mad. I'm not saying they need to do the Avengers Marvel game. I doubt we'll get that, but we could. You never know. Unless it's like Destiny, like I'm hearing, then I'll pass on that. We don't need a Destiny game on Nintendo platforms. And I'm thinking Ubisoft. I'm thinking Ubisoft's going to pull something out of their hat and give us an exclusive or something like that. I'm actually hoping for Mario plus Rabbids 2, because that game was just insanely good and it shouldn't have been.
Yeah, I mean, that could be, because I was trying to think of an Ubisoft title and I couldn't. And outside of like, okay, they're gonna give another Nintendo franchise a shot.
Which I would be fine with. I would love, after, even though Atlas or Starlink Battle for Atlas didn't do well, it still showed enough potential to be a Star Fox game that they put Star Fox in it. So let them handle Star Fox. What do I care?
Yeah, I think Kingdom Battle 2 could be a reality. It's a good pick.
Yeah. So, and then obviously we got Platinum, like I said, so that's good. I think Atlus or Sega could show up and do something big. Of course, I also want Persona 5 on Switch, but well, that ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. We're gonna get the the Warrior style game, because that's totally what people were asking for, and he said in his deadpan voice. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think that. Capcom. I would love for Capcom to pull something out of their hats. I'm not sure what. I mean, they could do another like Tatsunoko versus Capcom game like they did on Wii. I doubt they will, but you never know. They got enough franchises. I would love to see an exclusive Mega Man Switch title. I'm not saying it has to be Mega Man Legends 3, but you never know. A man can dream, especially after watching the Mega Man Battle Royal on Death Battle. That was just heartbreaking to see how that segment ended, because Legends 3 is not happening, so the story is ends in death, and like, yeah, it kind of does. So seriously, go watch that episode. It's hilarious how the Mega Man Legends segment ends. But I think Capcom could pull something out, like, especially, and I know I keep saying, but Phoenix Wright, I think that could be something that they pull out, and they've been teasing other things, so you never know. But there's a lot of potential. And again, the Switch sells. The Switch sells good third-party games. We've shown that with Mario Rabbids and Octopath, and Astral Chain will probably do really good because Platinum's got a large fan base, and of course Bayonetta 3 will do well. So, if they make good games, we will buy them. So by this point in time, you know, we're in year three now of the Switch. I see no reason that these developers aren't going to say, "Hey, let's take a chance on the Switch." So I don't know what. I would be shocked if there's not one, at least one major new third-party exclusive at E3 revealed during the press conference. I mean, there's got to be. Something's got to give here. So here's helping. And I know there's other developers out there that could bring something out there. Hey, I'm more than open for you doing that. Just, you know, come to Switch, make us happy. It's that easy, people. It's that simple, people. It's only going to cost you millions of dollars and countless man hours, but hey, it makes us happy, so what do you care? It's always harder to predict the third party stuff because they could go so off base and give you something you never expected, like a Mario Rabbids. And yet with Nintendo, you're hoping for at most, recalling the old classics while occasionally throwing in an IP like ARMS or Splatoon. And so, you know, they're easier to predict, but with all the third party companies and all the, you know, the brain power and development skills, you know, and you're right, Tyler, I think Bethesda could pull out something. You never know. They've been really good for the Switch recently, and you know, they brought Elder Scrolls Legends and of course Doom and Doom Eternal's coming. So, you know, I could see them doing something. I just don't know what. But wouldn't it be a hoot? And I dreamed about this for a long time, but you know, if Bethesda did an exclusive game on Switch, I wanted it to be a 3D Pokemon game, but that's not gonna happen. I'm afraid to say. But if they just ponied up and did an exclusive, like Bethesda style title, regardless of genre, for the Switch, it would just be awesome.
Yeah, no,
It would
it would
definitely
be.
be in it would definitely be interesting if Nintendo also was a bit more also just became so liberal with their IPs to actually allow others to like try their hands on it. Because again,
It
Mario and
did.
Rabbids was definitely a great success for the most part. Yeah, it was a great success. So it would be interesting to let these third parties like really try their hands on it. Because again, we have like Candace, yeah, Hyrule, that Hyrule Candace thing, that dancing game. I forgot his name, Candace of Hyrule, something
Yeah,
like that.
Cadence of Hyrule.
Yeah, Cadence of Hyrule. So yeah, I would love to see like if even indie developers can also like really work with their IPs. So if they can show more of that, I'm all for it.
Well, hopefully we'll get what we want, and you know, maybe even more. And then by may maybe we'll be talking more about the third party games than we will about the first party. I doubt it, but you never know. Okay, so here's hoping. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you. I had it so close to being right on point. We asked you what you were most hoping for from Nintendo's first party E3 titles. And 55% of you wanted surprise series reveal, 9% wanted a new IP, and 36% wanted release dates for games that are already known.
Okay, so this poll is going to be based on our previous question. Which third-party developer do you want to surprise fans with a new Nintendo game? Phrase that however you want, and make sure it says exclusive, Tyler. So, which third-party developer do you want to bring a new exclusive to Nintendo's? That's a good way of phrasing it. A. Square Enix. B. Ubisoft. C. Sega, and that includes, you know, everybody. And D. Bethesda. Those are like the main four, right? So, I look forward to seeing this one. I think that because, you know, fan bases are so tricky. So, yeah, definitely tag all the developers there because we want all their fans to see this. So, yeah, and then of course next week we're going to be talking about our personal hopes and surprises that we d would desire to see at the Nintendo E3 press conference or the Treehouse. So stay tuned for that. And of course, let us know about what you thought of all the news from this week. Are you excited for the Pokemon Direct next week? What did you think about Pokemon Masters, Pokemon Sleep, Pokemon Home, Detective Pikachu? Are you disappointed in the lack of friend lobbying in Super Mario Maker 2? And of course, are you happy that Sonic the Hedgehog got delayed? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler, Moria Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.